Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to another episode of... Go on, Jenny.
Fingers on Buzzers.
Oh, not so much a sting as a shout this time. Like
I'm gonna have
it.
That on a t-shirt. I like that.
I can't believe you got the actual person from X Factor, the actual X Factor voice to do it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
This is her audition.
Lucy Porter!
I know the voice of the balls, Alan Dedicote, but I'm gonna save that anecdote for another time. It is myself, Lucy Porter, and Jenny Ryan, and you may be able to hear that we're joined by some men, some lovely, lovely men who I've known a very long time. It's another podcast mashup. We're joined by two of the wonderful boys from Pappies.
Hi.
Hello.
Matthew Crosby and Ben Clark. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Lucy. How are you?
We are delighted to have you here and also delighted not to have Tom.
Oh, that's
I feel
all.
We should make that.
Yeah.
It's the perfect combo.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
He's doing some of his very important charity work tonight. Which he, this is it. Because he said, I've double booked myself. And I was like, right, well, you're going to have to cancel because we've booked this first. And you just didn't write it down. But then it turns out he's doing his... He runs stand-up gigs for refugees where the refugees do the stand-up.
Oh.
So you can't, you know...
You can't really
like,
be angry with that.
You can't be angry at that.
That's
when
worthy.
He's doing a proper worthy thing, exactly, yeah.
It's the only worthy thing I think here. He's ever done as well. It's really unfortunate. It just so happened to have landed
And he
on
is telling phone. Everyone about it.
And you've just done the same. Let's say, let's not give him the credit or the publicity for that. Let's just say he was bludgeoning. So he's gone to the kitten orphanage to bludgeon some kittens to death.
That's right. He's off coughing in pensioners' faces.
So we've got the two best members of Pappies here. Yes. And I mean, actually, I'm sure a lot of our listeners do listen to your various podcasts. But I was thinking particularly the Flatshare Slamdown is absolutely perfect for our listeners because you do have a large sort of game show kind of play along element, don't you?
Yeah, we do. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if people do play along at home. I hope they do. People are always saying as people are always emailing us and saying, can you send us your games so we can play them on? Because, like, obviously everyone's quizzing now. Everyone's Zoom quizzing every day with various friendship groups and family members. And people are always sending us emails going, can you send us your... And I think, well, no, because one day we'll have a Christmas book out. Yes. We're not just going to give it away for free. Also, you can actually listen to the podcast for free. Yeah. You can copy it down that way.
And also, we've never written any of them down, so we don't know ourselves.
That's the main reason,
I know, I was going to say people are being very lazy, but then you're being even lazier than the people writing to you asking
questions. At some point, they were written down somewhere. You know, it's like old Edinburgh shows. You know, you try and think back over them. Somewhere there's a copy of them somewhere, but you can't, you know.
You can't, and you really shouldn't either. Never look back through that material.
No, exactly. I hope all of mine have been burnt somewhere. That would be that would be ideal. What are your highlights of Flatshare Slamdown in terms of games and things you really enjoy doing?
I tell you one that we're enjoying at the moment. That it's kind of a variation on. Do you remember the game Mastermind?
The pegs, exactly.
With the guy in the chair and the
exotic lady.
Exotic lady appearing over his shoulder. Yeah.
Absolutely. The sort of strange, sort of Bond villain-esque type guy sat there in the chair in the white
suit.
So
many potential stories about what was going on with those two.
And good pegs. Good quiz question. Once someone said, whatever his name is and whatever her name was, were on the cover of which board game? And had found the name.
Of the two models. Unless he was a real Bond villain. He was hiding
in the cover. Yeah. That's brave. That's bold.
We do a version of that, but instead of coloured pegs, it's your three favourite words for a thing. So like your three favourite words for going to the loo, your three favourite words for being drunk, your three favourite words for ejaculating.
Yeah.
And the other players have to work
Never.
Out... to all of the above, they have to work out in the right order what the words are, and that is really fun, although it takes a long time.
I was going to say
you
hours
be really
fun,
easy
and that is
hours. we played that on our last episode, and
it's our last ever episode.
the first round took about 45 minutes, and that's about the length of the entire episode. So, but it is fun. It's fun to play.
I'm trying to think of my three favourite words for any of those things now. Yeah.
She's blushing.
Just lost in a reverie from all the times you've done it.
So many memories. So many happy memories. And what... So as well as Mastermind, where else have you drawn inspiration from over the years? Tell us about your history of quizzing and game showing and what's inspired you and excited you.
Well, we've done quite a lot of pub quizzes together, Clarky and I.
That's
various...
the classic, yeah.
Yeah. I think we're not bad. We're okay. I think, you know, the good thing about there being three of us is we can kind of fill in each other's gaps in knowledge.
I'm terrific at getting the right answer just after someone's got the right answer. That's very much my tactic. Yes, absolutely. I was just about to say that. Yes.
Consolidation.
Yes, Paris, of course. Yeah. Yes. That's right on the tip of my tongue, actually.
It's always nice to have a second opinion. But we come unstuck at the tiebreaker or jackpot rounds, because trivia is fine, but it's, you know, what's the distance round the circumference of the world, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And we're always, you know, there's always at least two extra zeros on the end of that number, and everybody else is sort of in the same kind of bracket.
Yeah.
There was a question. This is a few years ago now. There's a question where we were asked how many pints were sold at V Festival over the course of a V Festival, and we estimated 2 million pints, and that is way too many. We didn't realise. We just thought. I think it's about 200,000, but we're like 2 million pints, right? A million pints on the first day, a million pints on the second, right? That makes sense, doesn't it?
Did you extrapolate out from, how many pints do I drink? And then
if everyone drank what we drank, then, at least 12 million.
We had that at our wedding where we said to the caterer, we said, this is how much we think people will drink. And he refused to believe us and ran out of wine after about an hour of our wedding. Because we were like, we know our friends. We know.
Vindicated.
Yeah, no, our, I remember once, it for me, it was, what is the length of the International Space Station?
Oh, yeah.
And mine was, it was like bigger than the sun. And everyone, you know.
Get up there, show me, boss.
Is it like four football fields or something like that? I'm sure I actually saw it the other day.
Is it an area the size of Wales?
I'm not sure. You know,
it's closer to the double-decker bus measurement.
Oh, right. Is it?
You know, you got double-decker bus, Olympic-sized swimming pool, Wales.
Yeah,
so that's your measures of large things.
me and Tom actually were at a pub quiz. Right before we were up in Glasgow, and we had a sleeper train home, and we popped into a pub and had a pub quiz on, and we're like, oh, we might as well while we're here. And this would never normally happen, but we won, and the prize was about like a 40 pound bar tab, and our train was like we had to leave the pub in 5 minutes. So we just
did you do drinks are on me, did you not?
Yeah, we should have done that, but because we're selfish, we ordered like two of the most expensive whiskies they had and just had that just in there.
This is why the Scots have such a very poor opinion of the English, isn't it? It's like we just come and take whatever we can get and then head straight back down on our sleeper train.
Absolutely. Just and not even appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just neck it.
Just neck it.
You didn't even sit there sipping this glorious whiskey. You were like, right, chin that.
He started to explain the notes, the subtle peaty notes we should be getting.
While you're pouring Red Bull into it.
So, that's good. It's a good start that you're both quiz fans. You can hold your own in a pub quiz. Who out of the... So, talk us through the dynamic of the three pappies. Who do we want most on our quiz team? What specialities do you have? You know, how does that all break down?
Unfortunately, you want Tom.
Yeah, okay. Tom is the guy you want, and unfortunately, he's just a really, really big-hearted man, so he can't be here. but big brain, big heart, that's what they say about Tom. Big brain, big heart, small diary.
But I'm very much the liver.
I think Clarkie animals.
Yes. Actually,
the natural world. I think you could say Clarkie is into that. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'd like to think I'm quite good on music, but I think it has to be a very specific. You know, I'm quite good on the music I like. I think that's which is true of everybody. Mm-hmm.
Is there an era? Is there a sort of... Because I mean, pre-2000, definitely.
Yeah. In fact, I did another podcast the other day, and it was about picking your perfect festival lineup.
Oh, with Matt Hoss?
Yes, have you done it?
No, but I think I'm going to, yes.
It's really, really fun. I had a really, really fun time doing it. But then halfway through, he was like, so you're sort of doing like a kind of 90s-themed festival. And I was like, I thought it was... In my head I picked fairly recent bands, but I was like, who are the cool new bands I'm listening to? Have you heard of Blur? But yeah, so I think, you know, I think it's everybody, it's the music that you know when you were 15 16 17, when you first started drinking and kind of buying your own records, that's the kind of music I'm decent on.
Stuff you really felt in your heart because it meant something to you. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, when it felt like it was being written just for you.
Yeah,
spice up your life.
Oh. Spice up my life, exactly. Yeah. I'm always rubbing paprika all over my body.
There is definitely a golden era of I think mine extended a little bit longer because I was working in a record shop, so mine probably should have ended at about 2000. But I've got an extra few years in there of knowing every single album that came out and having listened to, you know, Shania Twain's Come On Over 7,000 times one Christmas. You could probably ask me anything about that album.
What was it the other week? It was Blink 182, was it?
Blink 182. Come on.
Is that how you say it? I always thought it was Blink 182.
No, you're...
They're 182.
Clearly not one of the cool children's.
I've thrown away my 3/4-length shorts, I'm afraid. So yeah. Why? What's the? Do you know the meaning behind the name Blink 182? This is not me teeing up a fact.
No, I've just, somebody once pulled me up on saying Blink 182 and they were quite offended that I said Blink 182. So it stuck with me because I quite like a bit of pedantry. So I respected that level of annoyance about one particular thing.
I like that. I'm now going to call them Blink 182 just to annoy
everybody. Oh, nice.
Just to annoy everybody. No, I think you'll find they're called Blink 182.
Just a pretty Patel version of make it as difficult and complicated. I've got a feeling I did hear the reason for Blink 182, which is something like you blink 182 times in an hour or something. Oh, does that seem... Is this like the length of the space station where I'm going to be
waiting?
That
feels like a jackpot question.
It does, doesn't it? Are you Googling it?
I'm having to check this out right now because now I've been asked it.
Yeah, well, we'll never forget it. Well, you'll always know where you were when you found out what Blink 182 meant. Linkin Park is probably the name of a park.
Yeah, I think boringly, most American towns have a park called Linkin Park, so that's why they pick Linkin Park. It's almost like going, what's the most generic name we can think of? It's the same reason I think the Simpsons is in Springfield, because there's lots of different Springfields and it doesn't sort of tie them down to one particular place.
The story is that they were called Blink, and when they got signed they found there was another band, an Irish band called Blink, and rather than mess about, they picked a random number and stuck it on the end.
Aww.
Nice.
Tedious though, isn't it? Yeah.
Can you now look up how many times you blink in an hour, please?
Okay. I'll just count.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Fine. At the end of the show, you can tell us. Yeah.
Well, we've kicked off the trivia train, so I think let's hop on board it, shall we, guys?
Choo-choo.
Because we are going to quiz the Pappies, they're going to quiz us, and then at the end, producer Amanda is going to quiz the whole damn lot of us, and there will be only one winner. Although,
that
actually,
could be only one.
We've done this before, and generally we forget what the score is. And...
The quiz is always the winner.
It is. It's a bit of fun. Now, and also, excitingly, we've got questions for Tom, who's not here, so we can redistribute those to you guys. So you basically, I don't even know how we're going to do this, but let's just go for it.
Okay.
And see how we get on. Jenny, do you want to start?
I shall start. I'll start with Mr. Crosby there.
Okay, Jenny.
Are you listening?
I am.
Ears down, looking in.
Are we going to tell them the theme?
Well, as ever, we do have a theme. Okay. And it's usually based around the concept of the visiting podcast. So you'll spot the theme. Don't worry.
Okay, great.
What is the name of the building which contains Del Boy's flat in Only Fools and Horses?
Okay. It is... I'm going to say Nelson Mandela Towers.
Does Clarkie want to come in? Because you are allowed to confer. And
yeah, you can confer. Just check. Check the wording.
Is it Nelson Mandela Heights? Is that what it is? Nelson Mandela House. Is it Nelson Mandela House?
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to have to give you that. That showed clear knowledge.
And can we just allow Clarkie to go,
that. Oh, yeah. I was just about to say that, actually.
Yeah, good. Right. It's lovely. There we go.
I knew it was Nelson Mandela. I just couldn't get it, but I got there in the end.
Well, that was the most important bit.
Also, now I think I've worked out it's to do with our podcast, and it is to, flats, houses and stuff like that. It's not called, Tower Share Slam Down. So I could have, if I'd had my wits about me, which apparently I don't, I could have worked that out. But okay. You'll edit out all the wrong answers, of course, right?
Yes, it's about flatmates and housemates.
Great.
In general.
Got it. Okay. Lovely. Okay, that's useful.
And bearing that in mind, well, in fact, this second question, you might be forgiven for thinking it's actually sitcoms is the theme, because it's another question about sitcoms for you again, Matt. Okay. How many spin-off shows did 1970s comedy Man About the House spawn, and can you name them? Now, this is a bit before your time, so this will rely on your sort of comedy,
Man About the House. Is that the one that became Three's Company in America?
I don't know. Yes, Jenny's saying yes.
One of its spin-offs did. I'm going to check it. Check it right now.
Hang on a sec. Is it the... Well, is George and Mildred one of the spin-offs?
Yes. Well done. Yeah,
so I think it is. It's Mr. Roper, isn't it? Because
that's the name of Three's
Company. But we're not counting that as a spin-off. We're counting that as an American adaptation of...
Yes, right. Yes. Sorry, these are British spin-offs. I should have been clearer.
That's all right. No, that's okay. So George and Mildred is one of them. Crikey.
You're correct about the Three's Company being the American version, by the way.
Okay, all right, but
if that helps,
it only helps if it's one of the spin-offs, because then I would have said.
Well, I mean, technically, you've kind of answered the question because you've given us two
just the one?
Shows that were spawned. But there is another. There's another British sitcom, and I will tell you, it was set in a restaurant, I believe.
It was,
And it featured which my mum and dad thought was the funniest thing ever, a one-armed washer-up. And it was the funniest thing, the idea that there was he's only got one arm and he does the washing up. Ableist.
Back we could laugh.
Also quite racist.
You know?
I think he was Irish in a sitcom in the 70s way. So it all kinds of wrong. But anyway, that was.
I don't know the name of that, I'm afraid. I don't think it's a Clarkie. Have you got any?
I would have just followed up with whatever you said, but I'm going to have to follow up with... I don't know, actually. No, I've not got a clue. Although, so far, I've not had a clue for any of these, so I'm not looking forward to...
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
We're gonna say it's because we're so incredibly young that neither of us were around in the 70s.
That's
Sure.
I was born in the very early 80s, so I'm afraid.
No, that's fair enough, I think. And you did. I'm going to give you the points because you gave us George and Mildred and Three's Company. The other answer was Robin's Nest.
Oh, right. I know the name, but I don't know the show.
It did a few series, and it was Richard O'Sullivan.
That was his restaurant, was Robin's Nest, yeah.
And Tessa Wyatt, who used to be married to Tony Blackburn, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
I can tell you that George from George and Mildred may still, I'm not sure, but goes to the same church as my mother and does the readings. So, like, at Christmas, he'll do the readings. And I don't know if a woman stands next to him and chops sausages while he's doing them. I don't go to church anymore, so I haven't seen that. But
well,
he's married.
Yeah,
they do now. They do now to get people in. He is married to another famous British actress. And I can't remember her name. But anyway, lovely showbiz couple. Anyway, I'm sure your mum would know.
I'm
his
sure
wife
she
as
does.
Well.
Yeah, yeah. She'll come on the next episode.
It's a Heidi High reference. Heidi High. It's Linda Regan from played April in Heidi High.
Oh, lovely. Thank you. Thanks, Jen.
Very good. There we go. Everything comes back to Heidi High with us.
Lovely spike.
It was a hell of a show, wasn't it?
It was. Oh my goodness. We'll move to you, Ben, seeing as you're looking forward so much to these questions.
Oh my, strap in.
Yeah. Your question from me. Which of the friends in the sitcom Friends was the only one to not have lived in Monica's apartment during the 10-season run?
Well...
You can do your working out. We're very happy to hear that.
Yeah, you can talk it through.
I'm reasonably confident with this. They did the big... Phoebe was there... Was she moving out right at the start? I think Phoebe definitely lived there. She definitely did there for a stint in the middle as well. And then there was the big bet where Joey and Chandler won their flat. And so for about a season or half a season, they were in a flat.
Yep.
So I'm pretty confident it's just Ross that wasn't.
Absolutely spot on. Very
impeccable.
Good. Showed his work in there.
Really impressive, Clarkie.
Amazing.
The question had to be qualified of during the 10-season run, because in the last episode, it turned out that Ross had lived there for a summer when he was a teenager, when his grandma had it.
Oh, wow.
And he was pursuing his dream of becoming a dancer.
Well, this is going to blow the whole lid off, because Clarkie... portrayed a man who'd never seen the TV show Friends.
Oh, yeah.
In Roisin Conaty's sitcom. Did you have a name, or were you just man who'd never seen Friends?
Yeah, I think it
what
was.
More,
just
what more descriptor does anyone need? Yeah,
I was a one-night stand that refused to leave the next day and was watching Friends, but I'd never seen it before, and it was blowing my mind.
Revelatory stuff.
But how unlike the real you.
Oh,
isn't it nice
absolutely.
To see
I've watched it all at least twice. Hell of a synchro.
We also went and visited the set of the, you know, when they brought the Friends set to a park in like Kennington.
Yeah.
Friends Fest.
Clarkie and I wandered around.
Lovely.
Took a photo of you on the set. Sent it to Roisin Connolly. She was delighted.
Excellent. That knowledge of Friends, which you had to suppress for your method acting.
That's it. Finally,
it never left you though. No. It never left you. It's beautiful.
It's there.
Well,
dormant.
Very strong first answer. Let's see how you get on with this question.
Great.
Which character is inspired by Bruce Robinson's memories of sharing a flat with actor Vivian Mackerel? Now there's clues in there. You're looking a bit blank.
Oh, Vivian.
Is it?
No.
That's not the clue.
No, I know what you're doing.
I know what you're doing. And stop.
I know what you're going. So
what are you doing, Clarkie?
I think it's alcoholic acting movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes.
But I'm trying to think now in my head. Oh yeah, of course it is. It's the one you know the name of.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm gonna go with Nail.
It is indeed.
Very good.
Well done both. Yes. With
that
Nail.
Was teamwork.
And he was teetotal, wasn't he? He was never drunk at all during that whole film.
That's right. Yeah, I think Bruce Robinson make him go out and drink one night because he's allergic to alcohol. And he made him go out and drink one night, and he just ended up being incredibly sick rather than getting drunk. And also, the best scene, the scene where he drinks the lighter fluid, they'd filled it with vinegar, and all of the rehearsals have been with water. So when the take they actually used, he'd filled that canister. So he just sort of squirts it straight into your throat, assuming it's going to be water. And so all the kind of coughing and spluttering and everything, that's done for realsies.
Oh,
because he's genuinely just, you know, neat vinegar hits my pipes, I think is the phrase he uses in with Nails, his book. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Well, full marks for that. In fact, even fuller marks, a bonus mark, if you can tell us the question, or tell us the name of the Bruce Robinson character in the movie.
Oh.
Jenny, can you Google it? Because I haven't actually found it.
I was going to say, you posed that question with such utter confidence, like, I know something.
Matt seemed so knowledgeable that he's going to know it, and then
I've just read
pretend.
His book. I've only seen the film, I think, twice, but I've read Bridget Grant's book. And
there is definitely a name. It definitely is.
I've got it. Now that I've read it, I've gone, yeah, of course.
I's not his initial.
It's not.
It?
No, it's yeah. not.
Okay. It's not with Nell and Ian. They just didn't have enough room on the front cover of the VHS cassette to write the whole name.
Yeah, it was per letter, so they had to be careful. No, his name is Marwood.
Yes.
Oh,
now you say it.
Yeah, now you say it. That's very
good. That would be good. That would be good in a tough pub quiz in a tough film round. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, remember that one and we'll use it at some point. It's been such a strong showing from the two Pappy's boys that I think we're going to ask them the questions we would have asked to Tom were he not off saving the world.
Yeah, in the style of Tom as well.
Oh, right.
Are we going to answer in the style of Tom?
Yeah, that's what
I'm not, because I'm going to answer wrong, and I think he would have got it right.
And I'm not going to take my shirt off, so,
I might flip this one, actually. This is a good question that Amanda has come up with. Amanda's come up with the question, but I'm going to flip it, if that's all right. There we go.
You're going to Jeopardy it for us, are you?
It just makes it slightly trickier.
Okay.
So... you're familiar with The Golden Girls, which is one of the greatest sitcoms in history.
Of course, yeah.
You've got the four main ladies in there. Which of them is the oldest? I will accept the character name or the actor, but we're talking about the actors who portrayed the Golden Girls.
Right.
Oh.
Okay, so let's... we know Betty White. That's one of them. And I'm trying to piece together... It was Blanche was one of the girls. Are we talking about? Are you counting the their granny as well as one of the four girls?
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it's a trick question. And it's not the granny. So it must be. Oh God.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Do you want the character names to help you?
Yeah, go on. Give me the character.
Is it A, Rose, B, Dorothy, C, Blanche, or D, Sophia?
I'm going to go Sophia.
Ben, do you want to go?
I'm going to go with Dorothy.
You are both wrong. You are both wrong. The oldest is Rose, played by Betty White, and she's the only one still with us as at time of recording. So Sophia was the mother, and she was actually the third oldest of the women.
And what's the name of the tall woman? Whose name?
Bea Arthur, of course. Broadway and sitcom legend. She's fantastic, but she's slightly younger than Betty White,
right?
Who was already a year older than the Bea Arthur was already a year older than the woman playing her mother.
Brilliant.
And yeah,
like the sort of Clive Dunn of American sitcom. Yeah,
absolutely. It's some good makeup work there, because I never doubted it for a moment when I was a kid watching it, but then I also thought they were all ancient, and I'm watching it now going, yep, I'm nearly there.
I remember
life goals.
Having it was a real moment of awakening for me where I learned about the menopause, because Bea Arthur's character said something about not being able to have children anymore, and I said to my mum, "Oh, why can't she have children anymore?" And she said, "Oh no, it's because when you get old as a woman, you can't have children." And then, yeah. Anyway,
I learned a lot from the Golden Girls. Yeah, in particularly about Sicily, 1923. Picture it.
Oh, it's back on Channel 5 at the moment, if anyone is
missing it. It's on every single day, and I love it.
I should be watching it. I've clearly not learned enough from it.
Oh, yeah. The fashion, they've got wonderful nightwear. They get up in the middle of the night at least once an episode, and they're all wearing a beautiful set of pyjamas on 90. They get cheesecake. They've got amazing rattan furniture. I based my bathroom on Blanche's bedroom. I've got the same wallpaper.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's honestly, I can't wait to be retired.
Well, in tribute, I get up during the night, which is just a middle-aged woman thing, it turns out. I didn't realise again.
Sure, yeah.
Lovely work. Right, oh, let's have...
Cheesecake isn't going to eat itself, is it?
It's not, is it? Pints of ice cream, that's what I have. Your final question, and we'll throw this to both of you, as Tom's not here. Which comedian did Christopher Reeve share a flat with in early 1970s New York? Or with which comedian did Christopher Reeve, Superman, share a flat in early 1970s New York?
Wowee.
Do you want... I mean, I could give you options...
Well, yeah, let's. Oh, go on. Clark is saying no to the option.
Wow. No. Have a stab. Because, I mean, which 70s comedian in New York would you have wanted? I mean, maybe this is the question. Who would you have wanted to share a flat with?
Yeah. Who would you have watched a sitcom about sharing with?
I was going to say, like, I know. Did Seinfeld work in New York, or was. was that just in the sitcom? Is Seinfeld? I'm trying to think of who else would be New York comics from the 70s.
I was thinking, like, would Lenny Bruce be a terrible call?
I think too late.
Too old.
It's a little bit after Lenny Bruce, but not much.
Yeah.
Not much. It's, you know, early 70s.
Was Christopher Reeve a big heroin addict as well? Were they?
Well,
I'm flying, man.
Shall I give you the options?
Yeah, go on. Let's have some options.
Okay. Was it A, Richard Pryor? Was it B, Bill Murray? Or was it C, Robin Williams?
They all sound good.
Bill Murray was on Saturday Night Live, which films in New York. So I wonder if that is... If I had to pick one, but I won't give a final answer until we confer, but I'd go Bill Murray.
Oh, I was going to say Bill Murray, yeah.
Okay.
Well, you're both sadly wrong. I tell you what's confused you, because you're thinking of Dustin Hoffman in the film Tootsie, who shares a flat with Bill Murray.
Right, yeah.
That's exactly what I'm thinking of.
I thought that was a documentary about his life with Christopher Reeve.
The correct answer was Robin Williams.
Robin Williams.
They were both studying at the Juilliard School of Drama in New York City. They remained friends after college, and Reeve's wife, Dana, once described them as closer than brothers.
Aww.
And both, sadly, no longer with us.
Yeah. Mork and Superman were best mates.
God, yes. Yes, ooh, to Gifted Aliens.
Yeah.
Nice.
I would absolutely watch that mismatched housemate nonsense. I will watch any mismatched housemate nonsense.
Well, it feels like a fan fiction that you could quite happily write, doesn't it?
It's already out there, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well done. That was a good showing.
Yeah.
Well, we did good until Tom's questions came along.
That's because they were Tom's questions. We'd pitched them exactly for him.
He would have smashed it.
It's very good stuff, guys.
So on the subject of flatmates, you know, you've done tolerably well, and I cannot wait to hear what you're going to quiz us about, guys.
Well, it's similar-ish. It's things that are flat. So it's not...
the Earth!
It's not flatmates necessarily, but it's flat things. Okay, Jenny, here's your question. Pancake Tuesday is known as Carnival in Italy. But what is the English translation of Carnival?
Italian and Latin. So carne will be something to do with meat. So meat eater's day or something. You have to get rid of all the meat in your pantry before you start to fast for Lent, I would guess.
Well, in Latin,
something like that.
Isn't vale like... Hello, isn't that a greeting? Isn't it Hello Meat Day?
Hello Meat! Like Hello Kitty.
You are...
Nearly there.
I think, actually, Jenny, I would have given it to Jenny until Lucy changed it.
Forget I said anything.
Because Jenny was sort of saying it's the day we get rid of all the meat. It comes from the Latin goodbye to the flesh. So it's not hello, but goodbye. So you were right, yeah. Lucy. It is a greeting, but it's the other one.
Yeah.
So I
think it's one of those like aloha, isn't it? It's hello and goodbye.
You can say vale at the start or the end of it.
Well, ciao. Yeah. I mean, the Italians love a non-specific greeting, don't they?
So that's what it means. Goodbye to the flesh. This is for Lucy. What was invented by Alan Shugart in 1967 and was used on the first IBM personal computer in August 1981?
Well,
so it's Alan Shugart,
not Sir Alan Shugart. Maybe he became a sir as well. Sir Alan Shugart.
I mean, they both worked in sort of, you know, technology. They're both tech companies.
Yeah, but I think Alan Shugart's actually was quite successful, wasn't it?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah.
My mum and dad had an Amstrad emailer, and they were the only people I knew to ever own one. And we kept it. It was hanging around the house for years and years and years, but I got rid of it because it would have been... Anyway, I think, is it the floppy disk, Matthew?
Absolutely correct. It's the drive, but I'll give you floppy disk. Yeah, because I guess without the drive, there's no point in having a floppy disk.
You're very kind to me. Thank you.
So this one's for Jenny.
Okay.
In the 1997 film Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion, What flat product did the two main characters claim to have invented?
Well, we're back to Lisa Kudrow again, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We are. Friends Connection continues.
Was it the Post-it note?
It absolutely was.
Yes.
Well done.
What's the Post-it note? Yeah.
Yeah.
I never saw that film. Was it good? Yeah.
It's good. It's really good.
Yeah. It's really funny.
I remember reading the review of it in, it might have been in More Magazine or one of those, you know, sort of teen girl magazines, and thinking, oh, I'd love to go and see that. And I didn't. What else was out at the time? Probably went to see Starship Troopers or something instead.
Also a good film.
Also, what a great film.
The day we went to see, I think it was Spice World, the movie.
Okay, well.
There was a queue, because this was the olden days of, we had three cinema screens in our town, and you had to queue outside the building, and it was full. So we went to see Starship Troopers instead, and I feel like I got a really good deal
that day.
Yeah, you definitely did. Yeah. As much as I love the old Spice Girls, it was terrible.
Is that a thing that still happens, though? Do people still just rock up to the cinema and go, oh, that's full, I'll go and see something else? That feels like a real thing of the past.
It doesn't really happen anymore, because if something's that popular, they will open another screen now, because it's a multiplex, rather than you have a binary choice of that film or that film. Bye.
Yeah, and
they were very small screens as well. The old-fashioned cinema. It's now a block of flats. Disappointing. Sad times.
That's it. People are allowed.
At least it's not Wetherspoons. Yeah.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Okay. Next question for Lucy. Which character was the star of the 1999 Levi Jeans advertising campaign?
So my era. It was Flat Eric, and I mean, that's no trouble. That's just right at the front of my brain at all times. I think about Flat Eric about three times a day.
Bonus point if you can. Do the tune.
The song. That's where I was just about to say. That seems to have gone from my head, because I'm getting confused, because it was around the same time. It wasn't the Babylon Zoo.
It wasn't that
Space
one,
Man. It's sort of that era, though, isn't it?
It's a hard one for me, because it doesn't have any lyrics. It's just because the cat in the video is like this. Monsieur Wazzo is the artist. So it is.
Can you do it?
It's not super clunky.
It's a hard one to do, because there's not much to it. But I think it goes. Boop, 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 boop.
That's really good.
That's frightening.
It's like that, isn't it?
Oh my god.
Who needs Spotify?
Ben's the human Spotify, exactly.
I have a cheaper subscription as well. Only £3 a month, guys. Do sign up.
Only two tunes, but one of them is Flat Eric.
The other one's Babylon Zoo.
So can you do all of the Levi's adverts, 1985 to present?
Oh, my goodness.
That would be an album.
Give us a bit of
be a beautiful album.
Inside by Stiltskin. That was a classic, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
Do you remember it started with the kind of the choral kind of voices and the big kind of big grunge rip-off sound? It was great. Loved it. Okay, so these are Tom's questions that he would have asked. So, Jenny, this one's for you. You're going to read that one at your clerkies.
Which creature of the sea, which is flat in appearance, has the most common nickname, devilfish? Has the common nickname devilfish? Sorry, I don't know what. Lobbed in a mouse there. Which creature of the sea?
It's got to be some kind of ray. I'll go.
It's good.
Stingray? Manta ray.
Yeah!
I was thinking, which is the one that killed Steve Irwin? Manta ray, wasn't it?
No, it was a stingray.
Was it a stingray?
Manta rays are not dangerous at all, but they're massive. They can.
People tell me sloths aren't dangerous, but I do not believe them.
They could fall on you, couldn't they, a sloth?
Have you seen their claws?
Their claws are massive.
I think they could eviscerate you very easily, and I think it's all a big front. Honestly, I'm scared of sloths. I hate them. They're disgusting. Although I saw a cartoon recently, which was depicting, if human mating behaviour was animal was different animal behaviours. Okay. Basically, it's
Watched a lot of things like that on lockdown as well, mate.
But female sloths actually just get into a tree, hold on, and scream until a mate finds them, just non-stop screaming. Hey, wow. Wow, that's how bloody lazy they are.
Screaming takes a little effort. I think if a sloth, I was thinking about you saying if a sloth could eviscerate you, but if a sloth did attack you, they move so slowly, it would be like, you know, in like bullet time in The Matrix.
Yeah.
As they're moving, you'd be able to move out of the way, you know, in the kind of, it would feel like everything would slow
down.
I
think it's all a big publicity stunt by the sloths. To make us all think they're lulling us into a false sense of security, thinking that they are not dangerous. Whatever.
Sloth, snails, all the slow creatures—they're all going to come for us one day, aren't they?
They are.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
a terrifying
playing the very long game.
Mm. Wow.
Or they're going to die out because they're just stupid. But
you've got a real vendetta against these sloths, haven't you?
I hate sloths. It's almost like you're asking
to be attacked.
God, why did you mention sloths every time? Normally, I say to the guests beforehand, I say, listen, if she tries to get it onto sloths...
I brought up sloths. I'm just so angry about sloths all the time.
Don't get Jenny on sloths.
And the fact is that they're generally safe up those trees, and then they'll decide that they're going to climb out of the tree to the ground to take a shit, and that's when they get killed by predators. Yeah. Just stay in the tree. Poo up there. It drops down. It's fine.
Mm.
Nah, stupid.
I mean, I don't
stupid
know.
And or dangerous.
I can't tell from the Zoom chat exactly where you live, but do you get bothered by a lot of sloths? Are you in a sort of sloth-heavy area, Jenny?
The Bolton Sloth Triangle, yeah.
It's a very tropical rainforest canopy round here. A
little microclimate in the centre of Bolton. You've probably not been for a while, guys.
Yeah. Sorry, that went into a proper disaster.
Clearly, you needed to get it off your chest.
Angry about sloths.
It's important that you say these things. You know that it's a public service announcement. A lot of people are getting very complacent around, you know, sloths. You know, it could be just don't be like a sloth yourself.
Are you trying I've got a horrible vision vigilant? Now that there's just gonna we're gonna see a hand reach into Jenny's Zoom window.
Just three little fingers coming in. Yeah. Right, let's talk about an equally contentious topic. Yeah. Lucy, your question is about the Hawaiian pizza.
Oh, love a Hawaiian pizza.
In which country was it invented?
All the terrible things get invented in America, don't they? It's the thing that everyone goes, oh, there was no such thing as chop suey until the Americans came along, or it'll be something, or maybe Glasgow was where chicken tikka masala apparently originated, wasn't
it? I thought it's Birmingham.
Oh, maybe.
But then that's probably just because I'm from the Midlands and...
your Balti is definitely Birmingham, a Birmingham thing. Yeah. But I think a few places in the UK claim the chicken tikka masala. It's wherever put a can of tomato soup in with the curry first.
Well, then I might, because I don't know this, I might go for Birmingham as the birthplace of the Hawaiian pizza. I'd like to think it was. Maybe Mr. Egg. if you're familiar with Mr. Egg, one of the finest restaurants
in
Birmingham.
Weirdly, we were talking about Mr. Egg on literally the last podcast we recorded. Someone sent us an email saying that when we gigged in Birmingham, everyone had been recommending us Mr. Egg, which I'd completely forgotten about. But Mr. Egg, the famous takeaway place. I can tell you that is not the correct answer, I'm afraid. I'm very sorry. I wish it was Mr. Egg. No, it was in fact Canada in 1962.
So keep it weird, Canada. That's what I like about Canada.
So it says,
they'll surprise you at every turn. No sloths there.
Well, it's sort of like Canada's like the kind of... you're absolutely right. It is the weird version of America, isn't it? It's like everything's just a little bit off. They put pineapple on their pizza. In 1962... it was invented by Sam Panopoulos, who was running a pizzeria in Ontario, and he was bored with only having three toppings available: mushroom, bacon, or pepperoni. So he took down a can of pineapples from the top shelf and decided to throw it on a pizza.
I salute him.
The most contentious pizza of all time was invented.
I love it. Absolutely love pineapple on a pizza.
Yeah, I mean, I don't eat ham anymore, but I love sweet things on a pizza.
Yeah, no, I don't have the ham, but I have the pineapple.
What are the sweet things on a pizza have you tried? I can only really think of pineapple.
Barbecue sauce is all, you get a nice sweet base.
The Veneziana at Pizza Express has raisins or sultanas or something on it, and that works really well.
Yeah, the goat's cheese one also has sweet red onion chutney.
Oh yeah, I love a red onion marmalade.
Yeah, a bit of sweet to go with the salty.
I've had pear and gorgonzola.
Now we're talking.
Absolutely. Oh. There was actually when the Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles were riding high in about sort of 1990-1991, I think one of the supermarkets brought out a load of like sweet pizzas. And I remember eating those. There was a birthday party where that was what was on offer. And there was sort of like apple pizza, which was amazing. There was like, was it bubblegum? No, it was marshmallow. It wasn't bubblegum. It was marshmallow pizza. But like the kind of stuff that the turtles would have eaten. And it's just, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like if you've got a bit of toast, you want to put something sweet on it. Why wouldn't you do the same thing with a pizza?
Good point.
Cheese and sweet things is nice, you know.
Oh, Nutella. I mean, my God, a pizza base with Nutella on it.
Well, that's what they do. A lot of these sort of posh pizza places, they'll say, "Oh, do you want your dessert? It's pizza with Nutella." And you go, "Well, I've just eaten a pizza. I've just eaten garlic bread, which is effectively another pizza. Yes. And now I'm eating another pizza, third pizza with Nutella on it."
So yes, please.
Yeah. Yes, please. Exactly. Yeah.
In fact, could I have a palate cleansing sorbet pizza in between? Just...
and a coffee pizza for that.
Yes. Well, I think I don't think we did as well as you did. I don't think I did as well. But we do have a chance to make it up because Amanda has returned.
Hi, Amanda.
And, she's looking sinister. She's turned the lamp off and everything. She's even more sinister.
I start looking very scary at about 9:03. So apologies for that. So I am going to ask you all a few questions about stuff that slams.
Ooh.
Just general things that slam. So who wants the first question?
Oh,
well, maybe I'm playing catch up because I didn't do so well.
Right, okay. So which notorious criminal escaped from Wandsworth Slammer on the 8th of July, 1965?
Ooh. Well, the only escapee criminal I can think of from the Slammer, which he would have called it, was Ronnie Biggs. Was it Ronnie Biggs?
It was Ronnie Biggs. Yes.
It was all in the way you said Slammer.
It was Slammer. He was doing a stretch. He was doing a 20 stretch in the Slammer.
So when I came up with the idea of doing things that slam as questions, that was the only thing I could think of. I was like, well, you call prison slammers. So from here on in, it becomes much more contentious and not really, doesn't really work. So, but never mind.
You heard our podcast, haven't you? Yes.
See, actually, I was going to do lots of stuff on beef. So maybe when you come back I'll research some more questions into beef, but
well, when Tom does his obligatory solo appearance, you could do a whole beef episode.
Great idea.
Should we just question him on beef? Pure beef the whole episode.
Yeah, he's recently stopped being vegetarian, so he'd be right into that.
Who would like question number two? Put your hands up.
I'll go for it.
Yeah, go on, come back.
Ben was first. Okay, so tequila. Oh,
there we go.
Used in the famous Slammers has to come from which plant? So what is the what plant do you make tequila from?
No.
Oh yeah.
Oh, dear. Probably the Hathlethleth of plant. Is that right?
That's Welsh, surely.
Anyone else want to?
The agave.
It is.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a cactusy succulent thing from Mexico.
But it's specifically the
nectar,
cocktails. Yeah, the agave nectar.
It's specifically the blue variety.
Blue agave, yes.
It's still horrible. I think tequila is absolutely
horrible. I hate
tequila.
So,
I had a bad incident with tequila.
I don't think anyone's
disgusting.
Had a good incident with tequila.
No.
Tell us you're happy. Was this how you met your husband? It was, wasn't it? Well, I had a lovely night on tequila.
And that's how I started my charity night.
Okay, Matthew, I'm going to give you question number three.
Yes, please.
A slam dunk can be achieved in basketball and wrestling. In which other sport can you perform one?
Ooh, wow. Good question.
Ooh. Wow.
Is it something like tiddlywinks?
really
nice.
Good answer. But really good.
That's
answer.
Nice. Yes, very that yeah. That is nice.
That is the only I'm thing like, I can I've say, got... isn't it, Matthew?
Yeah, just thinking, what I've got planned for after this.
So, I'd love that playing Tiddlywinks with my 8-year-old going, and that is a slam dunk! Eat it!
I can't help but think of the song by Five, Slam Dunk Defunk.
Slam Dunk Defunk, yeah.
Also my favourite band.
But that's not Spot.
Tiddlywink 182.
Callback, nicely done. Yes.
No, go on. You're going to have to. I've got no idea.
Anyone else?
Water polo.
Oh, no. I was thinking lacrosse.
Or hurling. You know, something.
I think you should go more mainstream. It's golf.
Golf.
No.
Yeah.
What does that involve doing a slam dunk in golf?
Is it the same as a hole in one? Is it a slam dunk?
Oh, that'll make sense. Sure, you know, yeah. Some Joey it, yeah. off.
It's
basically.
Not when you just drop it into the hole yeah. yourself. Push someone out of the way, drop it into the hole.
Speaking of slam dunking in wrestling, Martin Austin Rouen would have performed many a slam dunk in his career. True. What name did he go by? What was his wrestling name? Martin Austin Rouen.
Was he the British Bulldog?
No.
No. Martin Stone Cold Steve Austin. I don't know.
Why are you naming all the wrestlers I don't know when there's only two that I actually know?
All right, if it's one that you know. Charlton's Hulk Hogan.
No, English.
Oh, English.
Oh, right.
Oh, it's going to be one of two then, isn't it?
Big Daddy. Big Daddy.
The other one, it's Charlton Heston.
Yes, it was Martin.
Oh. I'm sure I know. It wasn't Big Daddy. Big Daddy's real name is Shirley Crabtree. We all knew that, really.
The most wrestling name ever. I love it.
I have to say, I'm very impressed. I think we've learnt a lot on this episode.
We have.
There have been supplementary facts from every single one of us. And I think even if Tom Parry himself had been here, we couldn't have had a more informative or fun chat.
That's very kind of you to say so.
Well, it's been an absolute delight.
Thanks so much. It's been fun. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Well, and the good news for our listeners as well is that they can attend a virtual Pappy's Flatshare Slam Dunk, can't they?
They can.
Yes, absolutely right. We're doing our next one on July the 8th. And we've got Dara O'Brien.
The only man I've ever punched.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a story for
you've been
for
very
now?
Restrained.
Yeah, no, I know. And I even did that for Mark Watson's 24-hour show. So it wasn't even in anger, it was in fun.
I would imagine Dara can take a punch.
He did. It didn't make a dent. It did not make a dent.
It's like this. It's like the sort of the classic scene in any kind of action movie where the weedy guy punches the guy and just nothing happens. The belly ripples a little bit and then gets a complete pounding afterwards. Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah. So Dara O'Brien, that's the reason we're keeping him on over Zoom, because we don't want him to get too tasty with his fists.
Yeah, that's it. He'll literally slam us down.
Yeah, exactly. We don't need that. So we've got Dara O'Brien and Sophie Duca. And if you go to eventbrite.co.uk, you can find where to get tickets, or go to our Twitter, which is @PappysTweet.
Fantastic. And they can also catch up on all the back catalogue of your various podcasts, spin-off podcasts, extra little bits.
Yeah, there's
all of
quite a few of them up there now.
There's loads, yeah. We've been doing it as sort of for our patrons, our Patreon contributors. We've been doing a Flatshare Lockdown podcast, which we've been doing 3 times a week. So we've got nearly 50 episodes of that now. So if people really like us, you know, if you're willing to give for $5 a month, you can get 50 episodes plus a load of ones we've been doing prior to that. So
wow.
Yeah,
God, you've been like the Joe Wickses of the comedy world.
Snapped into action. We don't
look like him at the end of lockdown though.
Well, you've got the hair and beards, but other than that, we've grown
hair, beards and big bellies, unfortunately.
Oh, well, thank you so very much for joining us on another episode of what are you going to do, Jen, for this sign off? Singing, shouting, are you going to go back to being...
I don't know, what do you want?
Don't shout, because otherwise a sloth will make love to you.
Yes, the mating call of the sloth. So it's been another episode of
Fingers on Buzzers.
Beautiful. That's And no danger of sloths anytime soon from that. So that's great. So thank you very much. Goodbye to all our gorgeous listeners. And thank you to the wonderful Matthew Crosby and Ben Clark from Pappies.
Bye-bye.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman, with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.